Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're doing Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame, running back here. It's funny, I tried a new thing. I might keep doing it. I'd be interested to just see what some reactions are. But I want to do it after I watch people. But it's basically, you know, just put out on Twitter, hey, what's your best trade about player X? Just open-ended sort of crowdsourcing of ideas. And I tried it for the first time with Kyren Williams after I watched the tape, because I'd heard some people talking about him, and it's one of the, you know, you don't know really what people think when they're talking about him contextually. You know, hey, I really like this player, yada, yada. But in like what way? And so I watched him, and I just was like, what do people think? And the same answer over and over and over again. I actually did it in the group chat as well, and some people answered in there. Pass protection, pass protection, pass protection, pass protection. It's good, right? I mean, and that's the thing. Actually, like literally the first snap I watched of him, the first note I have, I think I watched four games. And I was just like, oh, wow. Like, okay. Like, he's, you know, it's able to read blocks, do that whole thing. He's good at that. You know, the question becomes for a player like him, and we'll get into the specific profile in a second, viability at the next level, right? You know, I think a lot about, like, there's a dual axis on which you need to think about a player, right? You need to think about, you know, what's his rushing, what's his receiving, sort of what's the blend there. And, you know, as a runner, you know, is he a replacement level runner, but a high-end pass catcher, and then sort of how do those blend, right? Is that, or are you thinking like, hey, the person's a really good runner, but they're a passable, pass catcher, and you know, how does that blend, right? So you sort of have to look at these guys in like there's not one specific number necessarily that you can put on it. You need to sort of think about it and what you weigh. So I think he's one that's interesting, and I'll talk about why, I think some fit stuff in a second. So 5'9", 199 at his pro day. That's actually up 5 pounds from the combine. He actually notably improved from the combine too. He ran four sixes. He ran 4.54 in his 40. That's the problem is, like, when you combine the two, it's a 40. So it's a, for his 40 time, you know, 4.54 combined with the 199, it's a 93.7 speed score. That's 31st percentile. So already you're small and you're slow relative to your size. That's not a great sign. You look, vertical jump, 16th percentile at 32 inches, 116 inches on the broad jump, that's 36th percentile. So you're like, there's some physical limitations here on maybe the explosive sort of north-south stuff. When you look at the shuttle stuff, 65th percentile at 4.19, 6.94 at the three cone, that's 71st percentile. So good there, right? So you think more agile than maybe fast, right? More agile than north-south as a profile. When you look at some of his data from, you know, his college production, almost all of it was the past 2 years. So already you're thinking, hey, kind of late bloomer, you know, not necessarily a great sign for his, for his profile. You'd rather have people come out young, but, you know, he's going to be a 22-year-old player. You would rather have his production have been earlier on, but that's not what we have. So basically all the past 2 years, 8 fumbles in that time, which isn't great either. Yards per route run, 1.52. That is career 78th percentile. So that's pretty good. Targets, the percent of his routes he's been targeted on is 20.3%. That's 84th percentile. So good stuff there in terms of that. Breaks tackles, actually, and this is an interesting stat, and I think I have a theory on this. Once every 4.4 carries. I have a theory on why that might be, which is some of the stuff that he's doing on the outside. He's actually playing against some smaller defenders, because he doesn't break tackles on the interior at all. A stiff breeze blown by a a 230-pound linebacker would knock him over, is what I saw there. So it's interesting when you get a blend of these guys. And again, you're trying to project. This is why I actually think analytics can be really hard, and you have to be kind of humble about it. You kind of look at both, you know, both aspects of it. And he's a good example. Why? Because he sort of shows up as looking really good. Like, okay, basically he breaks tackle once every 4.4 carries. That's essentially what the number is. That's 69th percentile. So you say, okay. And then you look, you know, it's north of, it's right at 3.5 yards after contact per attempt. And you say, okay, well, that's, how does that rank? It's actually 72nd percentile. But when you watch him, you're like, that doesn't show up, right? So I think what's interesting here, and again, I like to look at like kind of individual stuff, individual situations, and then try and, you know, figure out how that might go, right? And so one of the things was like Kamara. Like with Kamara, you could see like, hey, as the pass, like if he's out running pass routes, like his explosion, his change of direction, all that stuff is pretty pretty tough to cover. If he's sort of put in that situation, that's something he can really succeed with. You know, when you look at a guy like Kyren Williams, if he is asked to run on the interior, he's just not going to be able to do that at a successful high volume level. You know, he gets swallowed up at the goal line. I think he doesn't, you know, move his legs all that well in terms of like generating power. All of those things I sort of have my doubts about with him. But you come back and you look and say, all right, well, why is that number the way it is, right? So it's interesting. You have to sort of take a and you see some of the stuff. There's not a great correlation, right, which I think you have to take a healthy amount of skepticism, both on what you see in terms of the tape and the player profile. And again, understand that so much of what the usage will be is dictated by the pedigree, right? So it's become self-fulfilling in that way. So long story short, I think probably better statistical producer than I think he would on a lot of the skill stuff than he actually possesses the skill. So I think that the number may be lying a little bit on him here. Again, fumbled 8 times the past 2 years. Some quotes that I found from him are really, really good. Willing pass blocker, extremely reliable receiver, and okay athlete who has no real trump card. And I think that's, you know, that's going to be, you know, I think the trump card is he's a really good pass protector, and can he stick around, right? And then if he sticks around as a pass protector, can he sort of be a, you know, he's not going to be Theo Riddick. He's not going to be, that's not what's going to happen for him. Can he be like, you know, I think of some guys that have stuck around kind of that I thought weren't, that were somewhat pedestrian in terms of their profiles. Corey Clement was a good one out of Wisconsin. He stuck around in a way that surprised me, considering I think couldn't get out of his own way when we watched him at the Senior Bowl. He's one that I think is interesting, right? Like you sort of look at that profile, and he's, you know, for a period of time has been relevant. You know, James White is like a high-end profile, right? That's a really, really good pass catcher. But even him, he wouldn't make a ton of difference that often, right? So if you had him over a 5-year period, it really wasn't moving the needle outside of maybe, you know, 5 to 10 games, and how projectable were they, right? So that's the interesting part about this profile. And you look at this profile, it's very much a it's a flip it profile, right? This is not a it's very rare. The Darren Sproles, Danny Woodhead type profile. Those are really rare long-term success profiles. So, you know, that's really what you're looking at. Again, the no trump card thing that kind of shows up. It's a pass, he's a pass protector. How does that necessarily become high value as a fantasy profile? Well, you need him to be basically a pass catcher, a pass blocker, and then basically be, you know, replacement level. So that way he's getting some work as a runner if the bigger part of a committee goes down, right? Like that's kind of what you need for him to happen. You know, and I'm trying to think like a good example, and not even necessarily comparing players. I think they're very different players, but like if he landed in a situation like Darrington Evans landed in, and you said, okay, like, all right, he's going to be basically a complement to Derrick Henry. But if there's a scenario where Derrick Henry goes down, like, sort of what do they do? Well, he's probably not going to get a ton of the rushing opportunity, right? They're going to bring in guys, and that's kind of the problem with him. But listen, if there's maybe a couple of injuries and, you know, maybe he gets like a spot start or two, that's kind of what you're looking for. Like, he's more of like a secondary or third, a second or third option as a backup running back than, and I think an asset in the pass game. Some notable other stuff. Again, he's a captain, which was good. He did move around as a pass catcher. 75 score for next gen. So they like him as basically a good, a quote, good player coming out, but on the lower end of that good scale. Another quote that I found in looking at some scouting reports, more active than creative up to the second level. That's very true. Like, in terms of, like, there's a lot of body movement. I didn't think there was a lot of, like, there wasn't a ton of make you miss skills, would be what I would say. In my specific notes, I did note some stuff about him, like the fumbles showed up. There's a couple of plays, like, I thought he had some interesting, I always look for specific situations and sort of how players adjust to him. So, like, you saw him do the thing where he basically slid down, got inbounds at the end of a game to basically ice a game. So that's Hedy. There was one where it was a clear lateral, like he was targeted at a clear lateral. He basically, like, kind of dropped it. And it fortunately went out of bounds, but, like, didn't really have the reaction, like the, oh no, like this is a lateral type reaction. Which I always judge, like, those situations, because I just want to be like, how sort of, you know, heady are you? And if you're going to sort of be asked to do this stuff, you know, are you a person that's going to sort of spend the attention to detail to be a growth person? You also did see him return some stuff. So overall, I think he's tough as a pass protector. But I'm doubtful of his difference-making value as a runner, just because he goes down too easily on contact. He lacks a high-end gear. He can get to a corner, but to basically get to a corner, he kind of has to have the person be taking a bad angle or be, you know, not square to him, is basically how he turns the corner on people. He has a tough time getting to the corner on a well-defended play. So, and at his size, right, it's just going to be really tough. You need to be a dynamo, and I just don't think he's up to snuff on that. You look at guys like that are, you know, Kamara is bigger than this, but McCaffrey, like, you just looked, he was a freakazoid in terms of how he tested out. Kyron Williams just doesn't have that, so that's part of the problem that I would have with him. So again, maybe third round of rookie drafts. Again, it's a flip upgrade type situation for sure. This isn't a hold for a long upside swing or something like that. This is absolutely a flip profile to me. And if he gets some buzz or something like that, you get a future second. I would do that in a heartbeat. I think at present, you're probably looking at him on day three. I would be surprised if he gets into day two. His expected draft position at present, and again, I'm recording this, the most recent record data run for Grinding the Mocks is actually March 22nd. So if you're listening to this, it's like about April 1st or so. He is not being drafted at present. So I think he will probably get drafted. I'm sorry, he is being drafted. 144th. I'm sorry, he's 11th on this. I just missed the, he's 11th. So 144. So you're looking, you know, mid day three. So we'll see. We'll look for him. You know, can he stick around? You know, and maybe a year or two from now, we're talking about him as a HHG. We'll see. That's kind of what he, I think, would be his thing. So again, it's a short, quick reveal in the offseason, taking a third or fourth round of rookie drafts. I think there's going to be better swings probably to take in the third round. Fourth round of rookie drafts, we'll take a shot and see. That's kind of what the play is with him. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.